Call to order the regular scheduled meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. And to get us started, I'd like to recognize Mr. Chris Layton, Vice Principal of Jefferson Middle School, who will introduce our special guest for the evening. Mr. Layton.
Thank you, Mr. Philhauer. I'd like to welcome our guest this evening from Jefferson Middle School, the Master Builders Program Lego League team, sponsored by Ms. Scott at Jefferson Middle School. So I'm going to ask her to come up here and give some of the particulars, but she's going to brag on these young men and women as their efforts in Houston, Texas recently. You can see they brought home a lot of hardware. So I'm going to let her come up and talk about the particulars as well as the specific awards they got. And I think they have a demonstration set up for us this evening. So, Ms. Scott.
Thank you. Like you said, I'm going to give some information. I'm going to invite our students up to do a demonstration. During that time, if you'd like to come around the table, it might be easier for you to actually see what our robot is doing. Jefferson Middle School has a really strong First Lego League program. First Lego League is a part of the FIRST organization. FIRST is an acronym for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. It is one of the four programs in the FIRST organization with participants from all over the world. Through First Lego League, our students participate and compete in three areas: core values, table game, and project. And that's why we have our posters. The project is based on a yearly theme. This year's theme is Animal Allies. Teams research a problem and come up with an innovative solution. Our innovative solution is entitled Engineering Bioplastics to Save Wildlife. Our team began our journey by placing first in the table game and receiving Champions Award at the Knoxville Qualifier in December. The JMS Master Builders next progressed to the state championship held at Tennessee Tech University in February. Our team was awarded the Champions Award, which qualified us for the World Championship. At the state competition, the JMS Master Builders were also awarded a very prestigious World Innovation Award for our engineering of bioplastics. Our team participated in the World Festival Championship in Houston, Texas on April 19th to the 22nd. To put this achievement into perspective, there are over 29,000 FLL teams around the world. Only 108 teams qualified for the championship in Houston. The Jefferson Middle School Master Builders were awarded second place in programming and finished first place in the table game with a robot score of 372. Our team members are Amelia Thompson, who's not with us tonight, she had dance, Thora Spence, Jessica Moore, Stella Scott, Adam Blanchard, and Matthew Alexander. Guys, if you'll come up, and board members, if you are willing to come on around our table, you'll be able to see our robot a little bit better.
Before they get started, this may not be the only time we do this tonight, but there's not many opportunities we get as a board to have world champions in our midst. So I think we need to start off by giving these young ladies and gentlemen a very warm round of applause. Standing. And now show us what you've got.
I
They've been programming since August. Sample of our plastic that we learned about. She's going to give you so that you can feel what it actually felt like. It was strong enough to hold a 6-pack of mini waters.
Where did you get this plastic?
They engineered it on their own. We use kitchen science.
So when did each of you start your interest in electrical building?
We've also asked these young ladies and gentlemen to lead us in our beginning pledge to the flag, so they're going to get this out and then they'll take care of that.
That's the worst part, setting up and taking down.
They do. They're coming back. Thank you, and you may be seated. The next item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear any additions or corrections to the agenda? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, we'll move to special reports and presentations. The first item, we always say that whichever school group opens up the program for us is the best part of the board meeting. This next part, presentation, may be the worst part of the program because we're going to have to say goodbye to members of our staff that have contributed many, many years of dedication as outstanding educators and are responsible for many of the kids that you see before us and many of the kids that in about a week and a half will be walking across the stage at Blankenship Field as high school graduates. So we will take this time to honor and recognize some of our retirees this year. And Mr. Steve Reddick, representing Oak Ridge Education Association, is going to help in that.
All right, so we'll go ahead and get started. As Mr. Philhauer said, we have a number of staff members that are retiring this year from the system. Some have chosen not to be recognized at this meeting tonight, and as much as we would have liked to have had them here, we've honored that request. But we do have 9 outstanding staff members here today who we would like to recognize. We will ask them to come to the podium as I call their names, and I'll make a few comments about each one of those. So you'll go up and stay at the podium as I read that. Mr. Philhauer and Mr. Reddick will make presentations on behalf of the association for their members. First up, though, we have an administrator, Nancy West. Nancy came to Oak Ridge Schools in 2008 from Maryville. She has served the system as the principal of Woodland Elementary School since that time. During her tenure, Nancy appreciated being part of the amazing staff at Woodland, as well as having the opportunity to work each day helping ensure success for all students. She is happy to end her career working for such an outstanding district, having enjoyed the opportunity to do what she believes is right for children. In the future, Nancy plans to read, write, and relax. She looks forward to having the time to pursue new projects of interest. Let's thank Nancy West. And Nancy, I know you love talking in front of everybody. We are giving an opportunity to all of our retirees to say something if you'd like.
See, I'll let you tell them that so they could get on you and not me.
Very good.
Well, again, I just want to reiterate, without a shadow of a doubt, Oak Ridge Schools is a whole lot better for Maryville. And having been in both places, you can quote me on that. Though it has been a great honor and pleasure for me to have served for the Oak Ridge school system. I'm in the best school in the world with the best staff in the world, and it's just been a joy and an honor for me to be there. And it's very bittersweet to leave. I know it's time. It'll be sad, but I look forward to this new phase in my life. And again, thank you for all you've done. All
right. Thank you, Nancy. Okay, now on to our faculty, and first up is Debbie Deemer. Debbie became Glenwood School Counselor in 1984 and continued in that role for the past 33 years. Since her first day, Debbie has been grateful to serve the many children and families who briefly let her into their lives. She greatly values working with so many dedicated professionals and cherishes the lifelong friendships that she's formed along the way. Debbie will continue to be an Oak Ridge School supporter in the future, always hoping for the system to shine in its endeavors on behalf of students in this community. In retirement, Debbie and her husband Mark look forward to spending some fun times traveling and enjoying a more flexible schedule to pursue other activities. She is particularly looking forward to waking up without the help of an annoying alarm clock. Debbie, thank you very much for your years of service. Next up, we have Karen Eaton. Karen began her career as a teacher assistant at Linden in 1990. 8 years later, in 1998, she became a teacher there. She moved to Jefferson Middle School to teach fifth grade in 2001 and remained there for the rest of her tenure with the system. Career highlights include those special times when students returned to share accomplishments and express thanks for the role teachers play in their lives. The future will be busy for Karen. She has 12 grandchildren, including three her daughter recently adopted from South America. Karen's other plans include hiking and traveling with her husband, participating in 5K races, as well as enjoying yard work and time at the lake. Let's thank Karen.
I just want to thank you for the years of service. I thank Mr. Lay for hiring me a long time ago, 16 years at Jefferson. My three daughters went to the system here. They ended up going to college, marrying three guys that went through the system here. So very thankful for Oak Ridge Schools. Thank you.
Next, we have Connie Moore. Connie has worked for Oak Ridge Schools since 1974. She began at Cedar Hill as a teacher assistant and moved to a teaching role in 1978. She continued teaching there until 1985. Connie then moved to Linden for 2 years. She assumed her current role as a fourth grade teacher at Glenwood in 1987. The highlight of Connie's career has been teaching children every single day. She feels very gratified to be the recipient of their unconditional love. In retirement, Connie plans to pursue activities she enjoys, which are gardening, hiking, and reading. Thank you, Connie. Next, we have Diana Sorensen. Diana became a school counselor at Oak Ridge High School in 1989. She worked at Robertsville Middle School for the 1990-1991 school year and then returned to Oak Ridge High School to spend the rest of her career there. She has also served as counseling department chair for the past 7 years. The highlight of Diana's career was building relationships with students and colleagues, leading to opportunities to make a difference in the lives of young people. She is grateful for the opportunity to work with students from many diverse populations, as well as knowing a second generation of Oak Ridge High School students. In the future, Diana plans to get off the clock as much as possible. She also hopes to work with teenagers in some capacity, as well as enjoying nature and being outside as much as possible. She may even volunteer at the zoo. Thank you, Diana.
It has been a privilege to work with kids, and that is why I get up in the morning for and whatever time that it says on the clock, and that's why I sometimes stay late at night, and that's, I think, as far as counselors, that's what we do, and I have loved the kids. And that's where my heart is, and that's where it has been. And I really appreciate Oak Ridge giving me the opportunity many years ago to leave and feel like that it mattered. Thank you.
Good luck. Next, we have Kathy Strunk. After working for 27 years as a teacher in Anderson County Schools, Kathy became an eighth grade mathematics teacher at Jefferson Middle School in 2011. Like others, Kathy feels gratified to end her teaching career as an Oak Ridge Schools teacher. In addition to her service here, Kathy also appreciated her time as a regional coordinator for the Appalachian Math Science Partnership, her role as Anderson County District Math Coordinator, and her position as an adjunct faculty member at Pellissippi State. As a retiree, Kathy will continue her volunteer work with the Clinch River Raptor Center, enjoy more time with her three grandchildren, and take time to pursue reading, exercising, and completing projects around the house. Let's thank Kathy.
Thank you. Just another quick thank you to take a chance on someone late in their career. It's been the best 6 years of my educational career. Thank you.
Next, we have Linda Young. Linda worked in two different roles during the Oak Ridge School's tenure. She was a special education teacher at Linden and Glenwood from 1990 to 94, and from 2005 until now, she has taught third grade at Woodland. As a teacher, she always encouraged her students to do their personal best and help them prepare both academically and behaviorally for the next grade. She also enjoyed receiving support from the Oak Ridge Educational Foundation in the form of iPads for her students, being an initial STEM scout leader, serving as a grade level team leader, and encouraging her students' love of reading by purchasing 6,000 books for her classroom. Although admitting she wants to get some extra sleep once she retires, Linda plans to volunteer at her church, assist with the local Food for Kids program, visit shut-ins through a new visitation program, travel more with her husband, and spend time with family members in the days to come. Let's thank Linda. And now we'll move to support staff. I'm not sure if, is Ricky Hayes here? Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and read what he sent anyway. Ricky began his career in 1991 as a custodian at Willowbrook. In 1995, he became a part of the maintenance staff as a laborer, and since 2004 has served as an electrician for the district. Ricky is very grateful for the opportunity to work with Oak Ridge Schools for the past 26 years. He enjoyed making many great friends over the years and will miss his colleagues in the future. Ricky plans to enjoy traveling and spending time with family in the future. He also hopes to catch some fish and enjoy some lake time on his boat. So let's go ahead and thank Ricky, even though he's not here. And Linda Voorhees. Linda worked as a Jefferson Middle School teacher assistant, serving sixth graders from 2000 until 2008. At that time, she became a resource teacher assistant and has continued in that role until now. Over the past 17 years, Linda shared pearls of wisdom with her students. She hopes that those words and her actions have had a positive impact on their lives. If so, she leaves Oak Ridge Schools knowing her years were well spent. She wishes the best to the Oak Ridge Schools as the system moves forward into the future. As a retiree, Linda plans on spending more time visiting her two sons, volunteering and traveling. Let's thank Linda, please.
I would just like to thank Mr. Lay, who was principal at Jefferson for the majority of my time there, and the Oak Ridge school system. It's been a pleasure working with you.
I say this with experience to you. Those of you who wrote that you were going to sleep later and you were going to turn off your alarm clock, that's not going to happen, I assure you. Let's congratulate these outstanding educators again. I know you'll probably want to stay for the rest of the board meeting, but in case you don't, feel free to just get up and go right on. Next is our good news segment, and we'll start off. We have some special guests with us tonight, and I'd like to ask Mr. Miles Hebbard to introduce those special guests for us, if he would do that.
Absolutely.
And you might want to
jump up here. All right, absolutely. Part of Leadership Oak Ridge, we got some special guests tonight that have joined us as part of one of their community activities. And as part of this group, we're supposed to go outside of our realm in the business and industry section and do something that doesn't apply within our job. So me attending one of the board meetings doesn't count for me. I actually have to go to city council to be able to count as an activity, since I have to attend these board meetings. And so we have three guests tonight, and I'll just have them stand, and I'll actually introduce them instead of them having come up here, so they don't tell any stories on me, since they've already been on three trips with me with this. So Stephen Crow with NSPS. Craig Lehman with ORAU O-Rise, and Marcia Mask with ORAU O-Rise as well. So please make them feel welcome.
Mr. Eby, start us with good news, please.
My good news comes from Glenwood. First, Lauren Blair and Amelia Bell received a grant from Oak Ridge Public Schools Education Foundation to support a summer STEM camp at Glenwood. Trudy Anderson has been accepted to the Teachers College Writing Institute in New York City. Marlene Sumner's second grade class won the top award for the district Dreambox contest with 1,503 lessons completed. Glenwood second grader Kaylee Metamorphos Diaz won second place in the IAMS Water Fest Poetry and Art Contest for art piece called Teamwork. And Glenwood received a Read to Be Ready grant for $47,444 to fund the summer reading program camp Read Like a Pro. Camp will offer reading support and enrichment to 45 rising first, second, and third graders. That's my good news.
Ms. Eagle.
From Linden, Zachary Ibanez, Linden fourth grader, completed the entire Dreambox curriculum. Zachary and his teacher, Jen Longnecker, were invited by Dreambox to present to other teachers in a webinar about how she motivates her students in mathematics. Linden received a $1,000 grant from UCOR for Linden's CISGE Over Tennessee event at Roan State Community College. GE awarded Linden a grant for a 3D printer. And 14 third, fourth, and fifth grade girls from Linden and Robertsville participated in the Girls on the Run program and completed a 5K on May 6th. Linden third grader Clementine White was featured on the local news for completing the 5K in spite of her disability. And that is good news.
My good news comes from Oak Ridge High School. On May the 26th at the National Academic Quiz Tournament, the Oak Ridge High School Quiz Bowl team will be participating in that national competition, answering questions that deal with history, science, literature, fine arts, geography, social studies, and current events. Members of that team are Addie Sue Githmar, Joseph Andrus, Josh Bridges, Candace Payne, Wilder Dotson, George Wang, and their staff mentors are Parker Jarnigan and Ken Center, and we wish them good luck in that endeavor. Ms. McLean.
My good news is about graduation celebration. In case you don't know about graduation celebration, this is the 20th year that our community has provided an all-night lock-in party for our graduating seniors. It's going to be on June the 1st, rain or shine, whether we graduate on the 1st or the 2nd. It's going to be at the Civic Center from 10 o'clock in the evening until 5 o'clock in the morning. There's scuba diving, sumo wrestling, obstacle courses, bingo, prizes, probably at least $13,000 in prizes and scholarships will be given out during the night. We have food donated from almost every restaurant in Oak Ridge, so there's like a preponderance of food all night long coming in 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. So our community has banded together. We are still looking for volunteers, and if you want to donate, you should go to graduationcelebration.org. It's a wonderful party that our community puts on to keep our graduating seniors safe, and something we should be proud of and support. Thank you.
Ms. Marshall.
Yes, my good news comes from Robertsville Middle School. The Pellissippi Math Competition was held on May the 5th with over 1,000 students competing from the surrounding area. Robertsville 8th grader Dan Joy came in 6th place and received a $75 gift card as his prize. Congratulations to Dan. Robertsville also received the Excellence Award for the Dream It, Do It competition at Roan State Community College on May 10th. The Dream It, Do It program creates awareness among young people and those who influence their career decisions about the outstanding training and job opportunities that exist in advanced manufacturing. The 7th and 8th grade NASA PBL enrichment class presented their CubeSat research ideas to a panel of NASA engineers at the Marshall Space Center on Friday, May 12th. Congratulations to the PBL enrichment class as well. That's the good news from Robertsville.
And that's just some of the good news that's going on in the Oak Ridge schools. Of course, much of the good news probably in the eyes of our students is that the end of school is fast approaching. And for a very special group of individuals, graduation will be occurring at Blankenship Field starting at 7 o'clock on June the 1st. Next item on the agenda is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium, sign in, and then state your name and address. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on then to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Next, we'll move on to items for action. The first item concludes for the time being our look at this year's adoption of the FY18 budget. This is a second reading on that budget. We've been through various work sessions. We did hold a public hearing. We did adopt the budget as we presented it on first reading, and this would be the second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the adoption of the FY18 budget.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers, any comments?
Yeah, just briefly, the attachment the board has on this item is an updated document from Karen that includes everything that the board has approved on the first reading, so that is up to date with everything moving forward. I've also had a couple of conversations since then. I've had a conversation with the mayor, a good conversation, about this recommendation. I've also had multiple conversations with the city manager as well, and I know those conversations will continue through the next several weeks, but wanted the board to know that those conversations went well, and we'll just keep moving this one day at a time as we get closer to having a final budget.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, the motion is for adoption of the FY18 budget on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. I will just mention to those in the audience and those watching that City Council will now begin starting their budget process and the dates and times for their meetings. I hope if you have an interest, I'll say what I said at the last meeting. It doesn't, if you do have an interest or concern in both the school and the city's budget, waiting until it's time for the second reading to voice those comments, it's too late. You need to begin now, finding out as much information as you can and calling your city council members. Correct, Mr. Vogel?
Absolutely.
And thank you for being here, by the way. I was kind of surprised after your performance in the barrel race this weekend if you still were standing, but it's good to see that. I couldn't tell. Okay, moving right along. Next item is the 2018 Consolidated Funding Application. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY18 consolidated application for IDEA ESEA.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers, comments?
This is something that the board approves every year around this time. It's our federal dollars. If there's any particular questions, Dr. Beckendorf can answer those.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, the motion is for approval of the 2018 Consolidated Funding Application. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is item C, extension of residency requirement for DT Hobby. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of a one-year extension of the residency requirement for DT Hobby in accordance with Board Policy 5.106.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
Our board has approved these extensions in the past, and you have some information in regard to why that extension is being asked for at this time.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, the motion is an extension of residency requirement for DT Hobby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item D, extension of residency requirement for Beth Estep.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of a one-year extension of the residency requirement for Beth Estep in accordance with Board Policy 5.106.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Comments or questions? Hearing none, the motion is for approval of the extension of residency requirement for Beth Estep. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Item E, annual copy paper bid. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the bid from Terra Consulting Incorporated for the FY18 annual copy paper purchase.
Heard the recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
As you can see from the attachment, this was the low bid of the companies that met the specs of the requirements.
Comments or questions?
Question.
Mr. Eby.
I always enjoy this one every year, too. Actually, I do have a question. As we go more into the digital world, do we see a reduction in the usage of paper that we use from year to year? And just curious, you know, how this $30,000 bid has compared over the last few years. Anybody know?
Mr. Colford, you want to talk about some of the things? I know the board has heard from you when we had our board visit to the tech department on printing, and you're putting a lot of things in place that hopefully in the future will reduce some of that paper consumption.
The paper bid is kind of like the printing supplies that we have to do as well to get the job done. Hold, bear with me. We are doing more things digital with our learning management system, and we're also monitoring all of our printing. So next year, the staff will start out with a widget that will actually track all the copying that they have done or printing that they do. So it'll make us be able to monitor that, but them to be able to be conscious of the printing that they're actually doing. So it should lower our printing costs as we go forward in the future.
Ms. Gagliano, I'm just curious, what was it? What did we spend in printing last year? Do you know, or is that a separate line item? Or
I'm going to ask Pat Smith if she has that information or if she can find it while we're working.
She says she's looking.
Pat, do you have that number or you're looking? Oh, okay. All right.
That was what I wanted to know. That's good. That's all I need. Thank you. And thank you, Mr.
Other questions? Comments? Motion on the floor is the approval of the annual copy paper bid. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Let me just pause for a minute. I think it's important to say this, and this is a compliment to my colleagues on the board. Someone watching this on television or sitting out in the audience might say, well, golly, y'all just zip right on through there. Let me assure you that before we've ever called this meeting to order, each of these board members has reviewed the agenda, the corresponding documents that go with the agenda, and they do their homework. So it's not like we're just seeing something up on a screen and saying, well, let's go ahead and approve that. We don't do that. Even though it may seem like we do our homework, and it's why it's an honor to serve with these individuals as I do, because I know they do their homework. And if they do have questions or concerns, they're going to ask them. So just thought I'd throw that in. Next item is item F, purchase of projectors for Glenwood Elementary. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval to purchase 39 projectors and mounts at a total cost of $37,035.80 for Glenwood Elementary refresh from CDWG.
Heard the recommendation, superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McClain, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
And to your last comments, Mr. Chairman, this is something we talked about and made a mid-year transfer earlier this year, so the board was aware that we were moving down this path, and now you're seeing that come before you this evening.
Questions or comments from the board? The motion is to approve the purchase of 39 projectors and mounts for Glenwood Elementary. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next is the purchase of elementary teacher devices. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the purchase of elementary teacher devices from CDWG at the total cost of $36,176 as part of the Access Oak Ridge Elementary Teacher Phase 2.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McClain, Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby.
As the board can see from the attachment, we get to kind of finish out this phase two with the elementary devices for our staff, and I know they're very excited to see this happen this year.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, the motion is to approve the purchase of elementary teacher devices for Glenwood Elementary. No, that's all elementaries. That's not just Glenwood. Sorry. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is FY17 budget transfer number 4, transfer of funds. This is a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the transfer of funds detailed on the attached information. These changes do not impact the overall appropriation approved by the city and requires no action of City Council.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
As you can see from the lengthy attachment, many, many numerous grants that we're kind of accounting for here. So any specific questions, I'll ask Karen to answer those.
Questions?
I have a question. So when I look at this, the budget in the general fund goes down, and the budget in the specific fund, like the federal fund, is going up, correct?
That's correct. You know how we set up contingencies in the general fund? So we're drawing on that contingency, we're drawing it down, and then we're setting up the grant in the federal fund. So the overall appropriation with all the funds stays the same.
Yeah, I'm still, one thing I struggle with, so we're drawing down the contingency, but we're using federal grant money or we're using general fund money?
It's basically just an accounting thing because we've received approval from the city for the overall allocation of all funds.
Right.
So in order to account for the money in the correct fund, we have a placeholder that is just a placeholder. It doesn't account for anything.
So the revenue comes from the feds, went into the general fund, and is coming out of the general fund into the regular fund.
Let's see how I can explain this. The revenue does go into the federal fund,
right,
where it's supposed to be accounted for. All we're doing when we're moving transferring money around. That's what this is a transfer. But we always have to stay within the very bottom line. So it's just accounting for things in the right place. Like we put the contingency in the general fund just because it was part of the total of all funds. But now we need to account for it in the federal fund. So the general fund needs to come down, federal fund goes up.
Okay, I understand.
Does that make
sense? Okay. Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
On first reading, the motion is approval of FY17 budget transfer number 4. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item, 2017 fee structure for Oak Ridge School Summer Credit Recovery Program. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the summer credit recovery fees for the 2017 programs.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. Agle. Dr. Borchers.
There'll be no change, as you can see on the attachment, for both middle and high school.
Ms. McClain.
I was wondering, now that we're offering credit recovery in fall break and spring break, do we anticipate having less kids in summer school?
When we looked at numbers last year, that was not the case. We looked at it, and what happens is, for the most part, you have students taking credit recovery during our intersessions, and they're getting back on course. But then you also have a period after the spring intersession for students to sort of go astray again. So our numbers did not seem to be that different last year. This year could be different, so we can look at those numbers and let you know.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I'm again pleased to see that there's no charge to attend, no fees or tuition for middle school students. Do we do a really good job of advertising that so people recognize that?
For the most part, that is by invitation. Basically, the guidance and administration basically recommend, actually teachers and guidance department will recommend students to attend summer school at the middle school level. It is strictly an opportunity to basically pick up those areas where you did not attain those skills. So it's just for those students who are in need of that to go to the next level.
Motion on the floor is approval of the 2017 fee structure for Oak Ridge School's Summer Credit Recovery Program. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is the updated curriculum and new assessment tool for preschool. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the updated creative curriculum and new gold assessment tool for the Oak Ridge Schools preschool.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
The attachment really spells this out from Ms. Downard. Mr. Lay can answer some of these questions, but as you can see there, we're trying to align with Anderson County to make that relationship work really well, and the upgrade is needed, and we have the new gold assessment piece being proposed here this evening, too.
Comments or questions? Motion is approval of the updated curriculum and new assessment tool for preschool. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Item K, Read to Be Ready Summer Grant for Glenwood Elementary School. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the Read to Be Ready Summer Grant for Glenwood Elementary School. This competitive grant was awarded to Glenwood Elementary School in the amount of $47,444 to run a literacy-focused summer school program.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
I think it's good reason that this was in our good news this evening, and we look forward to having this program this summer.
Comment, Ms. McLean.
I'm glad to see transportation is included in this. I think that'll enable us to reach a lot of kids who need it. Good job.
Mr. Eby.
Do we have a similar program at other elementary schools, or...
This was a competitive application that took part across the state. Mm-hmm. Out of our elementary schools, Glenwood is the only elementary school that did receive this. Other elementary schools might do their own kinds of summer programs, but this is a very specific kind of thing that's only in particular schools across the state. This is the second year Glenwood has received this.
If a student from another school didn't have that opportunity, could they go to the Glenwood school, or is there a certain number of people, students that can go there, or?
Let me ask Ms. Bell if she could come up. She was, by the way, she did a fantastic job working on developing this grant and putting it in place last year, and she can give you some specific information.
The way the program works, you apply to serve a specific number of students, and the guidelines from the grantor say that it's a one teacher to five student ratio. So based on the funding that we received at Glenwood, we'll be serving 45 students. And at this point, we would not be able to accept students from another school because the funding's already been set. It's possible for next summer that we could look at writing the grant to include other schools, but it would take the cooperation of that school staff. It's going to use about 15 certified teachers at Glenwood this summer who are working for 4 weeks during the summer, which means they're only going to get about a 2-week summer vacation. And they do get paid. It's not a huge amount of money, so it's really based on their commitment to our kids and trying to help them not have the summer slump and get that foot in the door for the next year. So
you said the grant's for 45 students. Do we have students waiting at Glenwood to get in?
I do have a few students waiting.
Okay.
The process that we use to select the students that participate, we look at our AIMSWeb and FMP assessment data for reading and math. It's primarily a reading grant, but we do incorporate math into some of the activities, that like cooking activities and that sort of thing. And then we also take teacher recommendations for students who they know need that extra support during the summer, and we do take parent requests.
Well, very well done in writing that grant. 45 students are going to benefit of it. Thank you.
It was very successful last summer. So,
if I can just add to that, I believe, if I have my numbers correct, that 98% of the students who participated last summer at Glenwood maintained or improved their reading level throughout the summer. That's so right. It was absolutely successful. For our other schools, though, they're not neglected. We have Keep Books, we have the Bookmobile, and about, I think it was 77%, if I'm remembering correctly, if our students who participated in those programs also maintained or exceeded their reading levels throughout the summer. So all of the emphasis on elementary reading in the summer at Glenwood and with the Bookmobile has really made a difference the past, last summer and will again this summer. So thank
one,
you
one
so
other
much.
Question, I know it's for you or maybe for Ms. Beckenhall. Do we have, as part of our learning communities or something, I mean, she obviously is extremely successful in writing grants and getting this 2 years in a row, and other schools within the system haven't gotten them. I mean, you know, taking her knowledge and having her help others write grants, or, you know, do we have that throughout the system?
We do work with grant writing in various capacities throughout the system. As Ms. Bell said, this particular grant requires that teachers really, really shorten their summer. We were hoping to add on another school this year, and it just logistically didn't work for this one. But we do work with grant writing and with many different teachers and schools. For example, in one of your good news, I think it was Angie's, Lyndon just got an incredible grant from UCOR related to the eclipse and the work they'll be doing in August. So, yes, we actually do really work hard to try to help everybody write grants. And we try to share that knowledge because it's just to the betterment of the system.
Other questions? Motion on the floor is approval of the Read to Be Ready summer grant for Glenwood Elementary School. Was this not when First Lady Haslam came to Glenwood last year? It was it not?
Yes,
sir.
At
the end of the program.
Yes, it was. And I also remembered, Mr. Eby, the Bookmobile was also a grant recipient from the Education Foundation and from Altrusa, if I'm remembering correctly.
Read to Be Ready summer grant for Glenwood Elementary School. Approval. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, item L and item N deal with board policy 4.700. L will be a first reading, and then M will be a motion to suspend the second reading, and then information for item L, the first reading. You'll understand why we need to do the second reading. Board policy 4.700, testing programs, first reading, Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the TSBA recommended changes to board policy 4.700, testing programs, first reading.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Agle, seconded by Ms. McClain. Dr. Borchers.
I know the board is very familiar with this policy, so I'm going to let Dr. Beckendorf explain why you're seeing it here tonight and for second reading.
Yes, thank you. So basically, if you recall, a couple of months ago, we saw this policy, and we had to make changes based upon the state's rule that this year the high school end of course exams would be 10% of students' grades, and then next year it would be 15% of students' grades, which was an overall decrease in order to phase in with the new assessments. At the time they made that change, they had not said the same thing for grades 3 through 8. So they just did. The state just passed the rule that grades from TN Ready will only count 10% this year for students' grades, and again 15% next year. So the reason we're asking for first and second read tonight is so that we would have the 10% rule in effect before report cards go out.
Questions? Ms. Agle.
Well, I know that I've seen some in the news statewide about districts not receiving scores in time for report cards because of a lot of other systems release a little earlier than we do. Do we have a sense of when we will get those and whether it will be before school's out?
That's the great question. Obviously, if we do not, in the policy it states that if we don't receive the scores within 5 days of the end of the term, then we do not have to count the scores in students' grades at all. But what we, at this point, based on Mr. Hundermark's conversations with the State Assessment Office, we kind of feel like we'll get the scores. Now, we will only receive raw scores. They will not be attached to any proficiency level whatsoever, so we won't know what the scores mean exactly, and it's up to districts to find a formula that is the most logical and beneficial to students. But we are expecting that we will probably receive raw scores in time, and again, if we don't, then we won't have to include them. But right now, the districts that are complaining about the lack of timeliness of the scores are the ones who end school a little bit early compared to ours.
Excuse me. What did you mean when you said the district will have to come up with its own formula to determine? What does that mean?
What that means is that in the past, the state has taken the raw scores and they have put the raw scores through their own formula to say this score equals an 80%, this score equals a 70%, that kind of thing. Now that is no longer being determined at the state level. So luckily, Mr. Hundermark has a master's degree in math and has literally run last year's high school scores through 10 different formulas in order to determine what kind of distribution based on last year's scores would be most beneficial to students. Right now, based on his work, our top two choices are significantly more advantageous to students than what the state was using in past years. However, we want to take the raw scores once they come and just double check. What we're trying to do is make the distribution of scores reasonable to kids.
So, because of that, in doing that, it's possible that you, if you want to look at what District A did, there's no way to compare that to what District B did, because every district could be using a different method to achieve their score. So we could say, okay, if you took the test, you get an A.
That is absolutely 100% correct. Now, the only way to really compare district to district is to not look at student grades whatsoever. It's to actually look at proficiency results once we receive those in the fall. That will be comparing apples to apples because the state will set different, proficiency standards, and those will be consistent across the state. But those will not be set when we receive our scores. We will receive raw scores only. And that's the thing, is that you look at a number, what does that number mean? You know, every test is going to be different. And so we can't predict what a proficiency level will be at this point. All we can do is essentially, it's kind of like grading on a curve.
Dr. Beckendorf, we could have an hour presentation with Mr. Hundermark, and he did run this through all of our administrators to make sure our students were at the most advantageous point, as Dr. Beckendorf. Perhaps it won't have anything to do with approving tonight, but that PowerPoint presentation that he shared with our administrators might give you the level of detail that has been given to this subject.
That would be helpful at a point in time to do that. Mr. Eby?
Yeah, I hope you're revolting to the state too, because I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous that somebody may give their district, everybody in their district A's,
And who's to say that colleges won't look at that, other people won't look at that? I mean, this is, it's asinine. I mean, it's just, I can't believe it.
The one thing I can tell you is if districts use the formula that the state has been using in the past, it's actually disadvantageous to students. So we're very fortunate. Again, I mean, it's very sad to me that Mr. Hundermark is leaving Oak Ridge, because he's so knowledgeable with math that he was able to really take a look at different ways that we could do this in order to ensure that we're being fair to our kids. And I do feel confident that when we end up coming up with the formula that we will use, that it will be the most fair that we can possibly come up with.
Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, so just to be clear, you said he was able to take previous year's high school end of course to provide some benchmarking. Does he have the same type previous year data for 10 ready for 3 through 8? Because the testing schematic is so new. Do we feel confident that he's going to have the same ability to benchmark against previous years for other grades?
No. We did not have TN Ready scores last year, so that's why we haven't released a formula yet, because what we have done is taken the high school TN Ready scores as a model to say, okay, that's what it looked like last year. Last year, we were not, because of the delay in scores, we did not have to include the scores in students' grades. But at least we have a sense of, okay, this is how it played out, and here are a couple of options to make this fair for kids. But we want to run the elementary and middle school scores through our models to make sure that that makes sense for them. It's exactly what you're saying, because we did not receive TN Ready data last year for grades 3 through 8.
I guess my follow-up question, are we open to the idea of broadening our criteria so that we don't try to force fit something to our 3 through 8 students that we're using with our high school end of course?
Yes, we're just trying to make sure we have the same thing per grade band so that our elementary schools will all be in the same in our middle and high school, but we might need to broaden it out. We really just need to see the data in order to make that kind of determination.
Ms. Eagle.
I very much appreciate the approach that you're taking. I know that it is a lot of work for Mr. Hundermark, and I really appreciate what he's doing and the way you're approaching this to try to be as fair to students as possible. But it's worth mentioning again that when the state does not set proficiency scores until they've seen all the scores, we're not talking about proficiency. We're talking about the same old norm-referenced garbage that we had when I was in elementary school. It's not, have you learned what you're supposed to learn, but have you learned more than 70% of the other people? That's not a criticism of you. It's a criticism of the state.
Ms. McClain.
Will we talk to other systems to see what they're doing?
Yes, we have by far the most thorough approach.
I have a feeling they may be calling us and talking to us. Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I'm sure we do have the most thorough. But here's my question. What happens if we do not pass this policy and we do not use that 10% for the TN Ready this year?
The old policy stated that it would be 15%.
What if we voted and said it was 0%?
Then we're not in compliance with state law.
Yeah, Ms. Marshall.
Just to be clear, we have to, in some fashion, have a protocol for the way we use the scores that has to be systematic and aligned to by our administrators, but is not dictated to us by the state. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so our passing the policy and aren't developing whatever criteria for using the scores are completely separate exercises. Is that correct?
Yes. Your policy is just to make sure that the scores this school year are only 10% of the students' grades, because the past policy for grades 3 through 8 stated that the scores would be 15% of the students' grades.
Right.
Right now, we're just trying to get it in alignment with the new statute that was just recently passed. Yep, that's
totally
it.
Understand that. But the way we score the way we utilize the raw scores and assign them a value is entirely up to our administrative professionals.
Yes.
That answers my questions.
And that's what's important. Obviously, the fun part about all of this always is, as long as we're doing what is best for our students, that's what we want. The fun part is when the board members are asked, what's going on with that, and how do you explain that? I just go, I don't know. I mean, that's so frustrating. And I understand you all, I'm sure, are more frustrated than we are, because you're having to deal with it on a daily basis. And I guarantee you, if we were having to make a choice here, other than the fact that it's a state law, this board would not vote for this. But our hands are tied. We don't have another option.
And
so,
just some kudos to our staff. You know, we were I don't know when Jim started working on this formula. I know it was a month ago. Yeah, October, most likely. I think that response is going to be very different than a lot of schools around the state. And I thank Dr. Beckendorf, Mr. Huntermark. He's talking to all of our principals a month ago, showing these 10 options, involving them in decision-making, and we'll continue to do so with the different bands. But I just think our staff is just exceptional when it comes to things like this.
And would say this as we end, I think the board would benefit from looking at that when we get a chance to do that. Any other questions or comments? Item L, Board Policy 4.70, Testing Programs, first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. M is to suspend the second reading of that board policy. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second. A motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Understand where we are in comments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on under items for information, financial report. Any questions? Item B, the EB attendance report.
Sorry. I noticed in 12th grade now that the unexcused absences exceed the excused absences. Do we know why, or are we doing anything about that? Or
I do not have an answer for that, but I will say this. I'm going to ask Mr. McDonald to step up to the microphone. He may have an answer, may not. But I do know that Mr. McDonald has been running data for the high school, and we are showing improvement as far as attendance is concerned. I've also had similar conversations with two other principals, so we're not where we want to be as far as truancy. We still have work to do, but it is clear some of the initiatives we have put in place, we are seeing improvement in some areas. So, but I'll see if Mr. McDonald has an answer for that.
Could you repeat your question?
Yes, I said I noticed now in 12th grade that the unexcused absences exceed the excused absences, and all the other grades, that's not the case. And so I was wondering what was going on. Are kids going out and visiting schools that's unexcused, or are they just truant?
That's a really complicated question that depends on the individual student. So as we've been tracking month-to-month data over the last 3 years, what we've seen is our excused absences far and away outnumber our unexcused absences. We have a pretty prescriptive policy that's laid out by the board for how to get an absence excused, and the majority of our parents are attending to that process. Unexcused numbers are something that we've been also trying to deal with and helping students and parents understand why school attendance is important and the impact that it has. I can say that over the last three school years, we just ran our data month to month for the year, and over the last three school years, this year we've had a reduction of 28% in the total number of absences, days of school missed. And that is a huge percent decrease. And so we're excited about some of the direction that we're headed, but we still have a pretty significant way to go. But our numbers are significantly improving, especially due to just programs like the Strive for Five and trying to bring awareness to why attendance is important.
Thank you. Just keep up the work. Good work.
Thank you.
And I would further add, I know we don't always speculate and we try to deal with facts and data, but there is a term called senioritis. And when I saw this earlier today, that was sort of what came to mind. Is this a case of senioritis anyway?
Well, I'd say I was wondering if, a lot of students were going on college visits that were unexcused. You know, they took more time than they needed to or something like that.
So. And I think for the average student, those would have probably taken place earlier in the year. And so once again, it's hard to tell what, what one area is causing this. But we are seeing improvement, which is very important, especially if you consider the sickness we had. Our sickness affected our attendance in a much more negative manner this year than it did last year. So even when you look at the numbers as a whole, we did not have the level of illness the previous school years we did this year. So
I think the good thing is, again, as we continue to get more data, we break the data down now by grades, we can look and see where do we need to put our focus, and I think it's paying off. So thank you.
It really is. Thank you.
And just to add that, Mr. Lay, too, and thank you for your efforts in this, and I know that effort is being supported on up the chain, so to speak, and that's been a benefit for us too, to have everyone that needs to be on board the same train, which that hasn't always been the case, but we're getting there.
And I would agree 100%, and I don't say this to brag. I mean, our intent is not to scare people, not to have people arrested, but I contacted a parent today about truancy. And the second thing she said to me, you just tell me what I need to do. I do not want to be arrested. Okay. And I assured her that our main goal is not to have a parent arrested, but it does send a clear message that I think the community is catching on, that we are becoming more serious about students being in school. I mean, we owe it to our students to have them at school so that they can basically perform at a level that they're capable of performing and prepare them for life. So, and I'm having some great conversations with individuals and like I said, and they're working with us. So it's really going well. So.
So I just pulled up that some of the latest data. So we are down 4,000, just at the high school, we're down 4,014 days of missing school from the same time in 2015. So that's a pretty substantial decrease. And when you think about each of those classes correlating to seven classes of missed assignments, you can see how this quickly escalates into putting students in a negative situation. So for excused absences in 2015 through the month of May, there were a total of 12,405, and unexcused absences 9,809. And this year, for the excused absences, we're at 9,405. So that's a pretty significant decrease for excused absences. And then we're down about 3,000 absences, down to 6,404. So pretty substantial numbers. And I'm sorry, I was quoting 2016 numbers to 2017 numbers. So in just 1 year, we've cut that down 4,000. When we look at the three-year trend, we are actually down over 6,000 absences.
Item C, enrollment report. Any questions? Items for discussion, any old business? Any new business? Communications, I'll just remind everyone of some dates. It's coming Wednesday. Ms. Marshall will be hosting a Focus on Education with the Master Builders. On the 30th of this month, City Council will be holding a work session that will deal with the budget. 31st is convocation. June 1st is commencement and graduation celebration. And then on June 5th is first reading of the budget at City Council. So those are dates, important dates for many people. So hearing none, nothing from anyone else. Thank each of you for being here. Our leadership, Oak Ridge, thank you for coming. And thank you for participating in this program as well. Mr. Vogel, thank you for coming and being here representing City Council, staff members. A few more days. Let's keep them plugged in. We're adjourned.